Hey there, it's the Loopcast for July 14th, 2007. I'm Jeff Horwich. Sandon Totten, welcome again to the Loopcast.
Hey, everybody.
Sandon's our assistant producer here on In the Loop. And of course, at the moment I'm speaking, it is July 16th. we had to blow off our usual Friday production of the Loopcast. Things just got a little out of hand on Friday. And you know what?
It's
we thought
summer.
Monday would be good enough. There you go.
Come on, guys.
Our summer attitude. But we do intend to keep Loopcasts coming through the summer, so not to worry.
Oh, yeah.
What we're going to do today is just kind of spend a little bit more time, kind of put to bed for now the kind of homeless shelter material, and say farewell to it with a couple of segments, some quite interesting, I think, that unfortunately we didn't have time for in our original broadcast. So this is stuff you haven't heard before. Unless you were poking around deep in our website, you might have heard some of this. But wouldn't you say, Sandon, it's been kind of a drawn-out process, winding down, you know, this last episode that we did. We keep running into people. We've gotten a lot of comments about the show.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the coolest thing about it is, you know, we did the show a block away from our studio. And, you know, now we know a lot of people in the community there. We see them around. We're getting to kind of follow up with them on their stories and stuff. And
we had to get some CDs to the artists who participated.
Yeah.
And we were a little delinquent in doing so. And so Angelo, the Angela Mack, who read a poem to start off the last show, came here to NPR and tracked us down to get his copies of the CD, as he certainly should have done. And we're glad he did. But he gotten a little banged up, kind of got in a fight in the meantime, and his girlfriend had broken up with him. But there's a happy ending to this story, right?
Yeah, I ran into him a day after that, and he said the reason he wanted the CDs was because she was really proud of his poem, as she should be. It's a great poem. And he kind of used that moment and that poem now on CD form to win her heart back. So
we're glad for Angelo.
Poet and a romantic, that guy.
I was driving down the street just the other night in Uptown here in Minneapolis, and I heard some harmonica out the window. And what do you know? I looked over there at Calhoun Square, and Tony Criss, our blues singer and harp player from the last show, was out there jamming away on a busy Saturday night.
Yeah, I've heard he's starting to form a band called Government Cheese. So if you see them on any bills at any bars anywhere around town, you should probably check them out. It'll be worth it. So
get out there and support Government Cheese.
Yeah,
the band. So let's go with our first segment, sort of a cutting room floor episode today from the Dorothy Day Show. This is a guy named Donald Fonzie. And how did we find Donald, Santa? Do you recall?
Actually, one of our guests from a previous show, Leisha Grossman, had referred us to him. He works with the Zamya? Is that
Zamya, I think. Sounds
Zamya
pronounced,
Theater Project. They put actors and folks from the homeless community together and have them sort of come up with a performance. And this was part of one of their performances.
Yeah, Donald came to do this monologue for us. And, well, we'll let you listen to it, and maybe Sandon and I will comment afterward. Donald Fonzie.
I was a child of six kids. We didn't have a father, and my mother died when I was just 10 years old. My grandmother came to take care of us, but she didn't know anything about discipline, so things got out of control pretty fast. There was no family table at my house. It was tough. You had to fight for everything you got. I started bouncing around, staying with different cousins, whoever I could crash with, just to get out of the house. I tried to stay in school, but it wasn't any better. I didn't have any friends, and pretty soon I turned to drugs and alcohol. They were my friends, and unlike anybody else I knew, they never let me down. I met a woman. She was an addict, just like me, from the same kind of background, and that didn't work. We couldn't keep it together. You know, back then, my hair was like real crazy. You know, people used to talk about me, say, you know, your hair looks like police cars. You know, it just roll up and park anywhere. I went through treatment four times and was discharged to the sidewalk every time after I finished 21 days. The fifth time I went into treatment, I was like, I'm not going back. I wanted to know if there was anything else because I was just doing 21 days. And can you imagine an addict like me? I've been getting high since I was 15 years old, and going into treatment for 21 days just wasn't going to get it. You know, so finally, they came with a program. It's called transitional housing. I went into transitional housing, and then I went into an aftercare program for 2 years. Then I was surrounded by people, clean people, and real friends. I got myself a support network, a job, a home. You know, when somebody cares about you, things can really change. Things can evolve. Thank you very much.
That's Donald Fonzie. And, of course, there was applause after that. We kind of cut it off a little abruptly there. But we're glad to have Donald on the show and, unfortunately, just had to try and squeeze everything we could into that hour. And Donald had to be left behind for those purposes. It was good. I wonder about the decision to add some music underneath that was requested. You could kind of hear a little bit of the piano kind of creep in, and it gives kind of a soap opera feel, which I think in the end didn't quite do justice to Donald's monologue.
Donald's writing is very straightforward and kind of and beautiful in that way, and it's sort of...
It's got kind of a Hemingway quality to it.
Yeah, and to be fair, though, when he did it originally for the Zamya Theater Project, he had people behind him sort of forming a human sculpture. Now, I have no idea what that would look like, but the original piece was that there were dancers and actors behind him sort of working themselves into some sort of posed sculpture at the end of the monologue. So
strange. Well, no, we didn't do that.
Nope. That kind of thing doesn't transfer very well to the radio.
Donald also did bring along a friend of his named Larry, who you did hear in the program, just sort of spoke up and answered one of our questions at one point. So we're glad for that as well. And this Zamya Theater thing that we have mentioned a couple of times here, if you're curious about it, they are touring around the Twin Cities doing theater on the topic of homelessness. Zamya is spelled Z-A-M-Y-A. And you can go to zamyatheater.org for more information about them. Let's move on to Tammy, Tammy Strong. Now, Tammy was somebody who joined me for an interview. She was formerly homeless, struggled with mental illness issues, and we wanted to talk about that. Another segment that, unfortunately, we had to cut from the program. I want to share with you a couple of poems, though, that Tammy brought, because these are evocative, I think, of her situation and of her personality.
She told us she struggled a lot with mental illness, and so I think these poems for her were sort of working through some of that and kind of the lessons she learned dealing with her situation and illnesses.
A couple quick poems from Tammy Strong.
The first one is grief. Grief, you have not given me the spirit of fear. I tear down the strongholds against my mind as you give me power of love and obedience of a sound heart. That's the one I wrote to grief, because that was all I felt when I was face down licking the street. I had to use it because all my feelings were all negative. So, you know, fuck you, grief, but thank you also. Life sentence. This is my other one. It's short. This was one I wrote when I started realizing my self-realization of what, you know, hey, this is my issue. Okay, life sentence. My weeds are obvious as I travel into the golden meadow of my soul. Path was forged by you long ago. I remember. Strength is your right. Call it up. Use it. Don't jump the gun, or the gun will be pointed at you by your own hand. Be merciful. Flow your ripples gently. Reflection is the source of your infinity. No bloodshed. Just tears.
So we're listening to Tammy Strong there, and I'll be the first to admit I'm not the world's greatest interpreter of poetry. Sandon, I'll ask you, what did you hear in that?
Well, I actually spoke to her a little bit before the show, and she sort of explained both poems to me. And the first one she said was sort of about how the situation she dealt with put her through a lot of grief, but she tried to use that to make her stronger, to, you know, teach her that she can put up with a lot and she can keep moving. I think the second one she said, or at least the way I've interpreted it, was sort of, you know, about just recognizing your shortcomings and not beating yourself up over them, and, you know, being willing to admit that you've got some weeds growing in the garden of your soul, doing what you can about them and just moving on.
Yeah, I think Tammy's poems were a nice moment in the show. That came at the conclusion of an interview that she and I did that I think both of us would admit kind of didn't live up to what we had had hoped. She was a little bit thrown by my first question to her, which was kind of trying to, in a very workmanlike way, I think, before we got into the real stuff, kind of sum up her situation and how she got into homelessness.
Right.
But I think she wasn't expecting us to go there, or she heard something in my question that I didn't intend, and that kind of, she said, put her a little off balance as the interview continued. One of the things that Tammy really could bring to the discussion is, as she puts it, the way she became homeless and her chemistry changed.
Right.
You know, she had some problems with mental illness going in, perhaps, but it wasn't until the stress of that situation, you know, and the change in lifestyle and the difficulties of living homeless came about, that it really surfaced.
Right. You know, and that's something we heard from people who worked at the Dorothy Day Center as well, that sort of you're there for even a short amount of time and it just you see people start to change, you know, the situation, the daily routines and all the difficulties you're dealt with. That you have to deal with there, you know, they really take a toll on you. They really sort of do sort of start to change your chemistry in a way that can make it all the harder to get out of the situation.
Something I learned, I think, that for me might have been something I'd have presumed going in, you know, that mental illness essentially causes people to be homeless. You know, they can't keep it together because they're mentally ill and so they wind up homeless. In fact, the story often includes sort of a mounting, accelerating mental illness while you're in homelessness. You know, circumstances may put you there and maybe mentally you're in pretty good shape when you land there, but whether it's kind of a bipolar disorder or whether it's a situational depression or whether it's a schizophrenia, I mean, it's exacerbated by that situation.
Yeah.
Something that Tammy definitely had to teach us. And so I hope we can at least drive that home a little bit more here in the in the podcast. So as we end here, we'll end with one last element that was cut from the show, and this was my song. You know, I'll often do a song, at least I have for the last 5 or 6 months, at the tail end of the show, and this was no exception. I thought it turned out pretty well, and the smarts backed me up on it. The song, though, I'll say, I mean, I wrote it almost as a backup, because planning this kind of show, I mean, you know, right, Sandin? I mean, whether we would have all of our lineup of guests show up was a little bit up in the air.
It's tricky. I mean, certainly we weren't able to get cell phone numbers and emails for some of our guests. And so we, you know, yeah, it was safe to plan a backup.
And was the audience going to talk or were those segments just going to be, you know, empty? As it turned out, the audience was wonderful. All of our guests showed up and we had more material than we needed. And, you know, it was an easy decision for me to say, okay, well, the song that I wrote and performed is not something that we need in the show. But we can share it with you here.
It was a good song.
So that's what we'll play for you, and that'll be the end of the podcast. Anyway, I'm Jeff Horwich. Sandin, thanks for all your work on this show at Dorothy Day and your work on our shows coming up in the future.
Yeah, I was just going to say one last anecdote I wanted to share was
yeah.
I know we did a good job on this show when I was running down to the listening house to drop off some CDs for some folks, and I was sort of on my way out, and everybody kept asking for copies. You know, everyone would stop me and say, oh, can I get a copy too? And I know I have to actually go back and drop off more. But just as I was about to get out the door, this really big guy with a big beard sort of yells across the room, hey, public radio guy. And I suddenly stop and was afraid, you know, he's going to say something. Maybe he didn't like the show or, you know, thought that your song was bad or something. I don't know. But he just sort of, as soon as I turn around, he looks at me and he gives me this thumbs up and he says, you guys did a great job.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, well, we really appreciate all the feedback you guys have given us on the show and on our past 9 shows we've done in the forum. So hope to keep doing it for you.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll leave my little introduction that I did from the show on the front end of the song here and just play that out. And that'll be the end of today's Loopcast. You'll hear the smarts backing me up. They came down to Dorothy Day, of course, and did an amazing job backing not just me, of course, but our other musicians from that community and filling in the gaps in between the pieces with some great great bumper choices. So the smarts, more about them at thesmartsband.com. And, of course, I'll give our website as well, minnesotapublicradio.org/intheloop. And let me just say, stick around for the podcast next week. We're going to have our Story Slam. We finally got it put together, an hour's worth of Story Slam. That'll be on the radio as well, but it's going to be the Loopcast the next time you get a Loopcast. And it turned out pretty sweet, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going
to
love this.
Yeah, so we'll switch 180 degrees from talking about homelessness to this kind of random Story Slam thing. Proving once again that what In the Loop is about nothing in particular.
No, that we're nimble.
Yeah, you be the judge.
Quick on our feet.
All right, that's it. No more talking from us. Here's a song. Thank you.
Bye.
It's been an honor to have people share their lives and their feelings with us as we've spent time getting ready for this show. These are just a couple of more stories that stuck with me. In fact, all of these stories in this tune were ones I gathered from people in conversations during the night that I spent here.
3, 4. Disability office,
'cause you know I hurt my back. A woman looks at me and taps her pen. 10 more months, you'll be 55, she says. Why don't you stay at the shelter now and come back and see me then? I looked across the desk and said, it's real simple, lady. Give up your credit cards and checks. Put on some junky clothes like you're working in the yard. Come on down and see what happens to you next. I used to be so easygoing, quick to joke and crack a grin. Now the slightest little thing can set me off. Don't think I'll be myself again. Got divorced out in Nevada. With $43, I headed out of town. I picked St. Paul because it had saints in the name. Thought that might mean good luck to try to turn my life around. Stole my wallet on the second day I got here. No job, no money, no ID. I've been stuck in now a year gone by somehow. Tries to beat the spirit out of me. I've been tricked out of my money. Got ripped off working for the county fair. Through my cousin I could drive a forklift in Detroit if I just had the cash to get me there. God says hold your tongue and turn the other cheek. In here, that's the hardest thing to do. Just mind your business, go on, try to get some sleep, and hope that no one tries to bother you. It's my pride that keeps me here. Got friends and family who could help. I'd never hear the end of what they've done for me. This time I gotta help myself. As I'm looking at the ceiling, say a prayer for all these guys. I never worry whether I will get much sleep. All I really care is that I rise. Yeah.